Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2021. We have two great episodes of Fort Laramie and Gunsmoke for you today. And both of them feature more female parts than they usually have, and bigger female parts. So I'm excited for that. I'm glad that they both linked up in that way, that they would both be doing that. On Fort Laramie, we haven't had a big female part in quite a while, so it's kind of nice. And we'll get a little more background into Quince's character as well. So that'll be great. And then over in Gunsmoke, the episode is labeled Annie Oakley. So I always kind of love these episodes where they have some famous person in there. They don't do it all that often, so it's nice to hear when they do these episodes. So I hope you're going to enjoy both of them, and we'll see you both. Well, both. I think I have more than two listeners, but we'll see you all next time. Enjoy.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
There's a good campsite ahead, Major.
How far are we from Fort Laramie, Captain?
About 25 miles, sir.
That far?
At least.
25 miles and about an hour of daylight. Guess we'll have to make camp.
It's your patrol, Major.
What do you think?
I think we're pushing too hard. We've covered a lot of territory in the last couple of days. The men are tired. Telling on them.
That's your campsite, half a mile ahead?
Yeah, that's it, sir.
One more night of making camp. That doesn't bother you, does it, Captain?
After 6 weeks of it, no, sir. One more night doesn't bother me.
This is what I'm talking about, Lee. Listen to the men a while.
Eating over there? That's Horner and Furnace.
Doesn't matter who they are. Just listen to them.
You know what I do? You know? We're going to be out one more night, Horner.
We were going to be out one more night. It wouldn't be no concern of mine what you do, because I wouldn't be here.
You'd be here.
You'd have to find somebody else to jaw to, Furnace. I just start walking. First woman I come to, red or white, I'd say, you go fetch a parson, woman. You got yourself a man.
Ain't Bessie gonna be glad to hear that. You're not married a year. You're already talking about another woman.
You know how much I've been with Bessie since we were married? Mm-hmm. Out 6 weeks this time, 3 months of time before, and before that it was... I don't even know. What good's having a wife you gotta say how to do all over again 3-4 times a year?
I never should have asked you no question. You don't want to hear me. You just want to hear you.
You got something worth my hearing?
I'm getting to know this soup bone awful well. If he was going to be out one more night, I'd carve my initials on it. And if it come floating into my supper tomorrow night, I'd take it to that cooking.
That's all you got on your mind, soup bones?
I married Lizzie for a cooking. She's a powerful good cook.
When you get back to Fort Laramie, you gonna take one look at Lizzie and say, what's for dinner?
I like a good meal.
Oh, man, like you don't deserve no wife.
Well, Lizzie likes to cook.
Got so I can't remember, can Bessie cook or can't she? But I got no trouble recollecting Bessie herself. Oh, and I'm sure gonna admire seeing her again.
Come on, Quince.
Wonder what Lizzie's planning for supper tomorrow night.
You still think we've been pushing them too hard, Captain?
I still think they're tired.
More homesick.
That might be.
I know, because I'm homesick, too. 6 weeks is a long time. It's a lot longer if you have someone waiting for you. A lot easier, too. Does that make sense, Lee?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Furnace feels it, and Horner, all the married men on the patrol. They all say it different ways, but what they feel is close to what I feel. Tomorrow night at this time, I'll be home. With Mary. What about you, Lee?
I'll be glad to get back, Major.
Why?
Well, I like sleeping in a bed.
I'm serious. It's lonely country, the West. I don't think I could stand it without Mary. I need her. I guess I'm saying I'm not really complete without her.
Mary's a fine woman.
You don't understand, do you, Lee? Horner, Furnace, or me?
I can't understand what I don't know, Major, but sometimes I can get a feeling for it. I can see how it'd be pretty good to have someone waiting.
Patrol! Attention! Dismiss.
Lizzie! Hey, Lizzie, what you got for supper?
Hey, Bessie! Bessie, girl, is that you?
Mary!
What you got
Mary.
For supper?
Captain Quince?
Yes, Gord?
Well, you ain't forgetting about tonight.
Oh, what about tonight?
Well, we talked some of a poker game.
Oh, yeah, that's right, we did.
Of course, who we get to play might be a problem. Can't count on any of the married men.
No. No, we can't.
I don't know how they put up with it, Captain.
What's that, Gorse?
Well, look at them. Women hanging on their necks, squealing, giggling. Some of them crying, even. If I come back to that after 6 weeks of campaign, I just might join some Injun tribe.
You'd sooner come home to a squealing, giggling squaw, would you?
I'd sooner come home to nothing, just like I do.
Yeah, that's the difference, then.
What do you mean?
Look again, those men with the women on their necks. They don't look like they mind a bit.
No, they sure don't.
You dead set on that poker, Gorse?
Well, we could slick up some, go into the village. That cooking at the hotel ain't too bad. Well, you ain't keen on any plan for tonight, are you, Captain?
I guess I'm tired.
Sure.
Gorse, we
can play poker anytime, Captain. You know, that's the beauty of being single. We're free to do what we want anytime.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
Well, I'll see you, sir.
Sure, Gorse.
Calico's prettier, I think, but nothing will wear like that blue drilling. And out here, it's the wear that counts.
I know, but Tom likes calico.
Oh, my. Excuse me, Mrs. Doolittle.
Oh, of course, Willa.
Hello, Lee.
Miss Willa?
I heard you were expected back today. You look tired.
You look fine.
Do I?
Just fine. Miss Willa, I...
Yes, Lee?
I guess you're busy.
Well, just a little. Dad's in Cheyenne for a few days, but I'll be closing up in a little while.
You want to take dinner with me?
I'd like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like that, too. Well, I... You sure look fine, Miss Willa.
Do I?
Fine.
About 7, Lee?
Yeah, about 7.
I'll be ready. Oh, Lee, I've got to get back to Mrs. Doolittle.
Sure, you do that. Miss Willa.
Yes, Lee?
It's sure good to be home.
Thank you.
You don't look like the same man who came into the store this afternoon.
I'm bound to weigh less just shaving.
Well, I think maybe beards are for presidents, like Mr. Lincoln and Mr. Grant, not for cavalry captains.
Yeah, not for this one, anyway.
Now, you might look very dashing with a mustache.
That'd be a plain fraud, Willa, to look it and not be dashing.
Mrs. Doolittle thought you looked dashing with a full beard today.
I should have asked her to dinner, seeing she'd take me as I am.
Everybody takes you as you are, Lee. Or not at all.
That the way it is?
That's the way it is.
Yeah, this coffee's a sight better than I've been used to.
It's dreadful coffee.
Huh?
If I didn't think it'd scare you to death, I'd offer to make you some real coffee when you see me home.
Coffee never scares me to death.
But we have an unwritten rule about mentioning my homey little talents, like coffee making.
Oh, you don't have to mention them. I hear about them. Mary Daggett's told me all about the light crusts on your berry pies. Liz Mead never fails to point out how you sew a fine seam and keep your father's house the tidiest on the post.
Poor Lee.
Oh, I don't suffer too much.
I'm not sure you suffer enough.
Well, maybe that's it. Pliny's in Cheyenne, you say?
I think he'll be back day after tomorrow.
You tending the store all alone, then?
I haven't minded. It's filled the days. When I get too busy, I call for Liz Mead or one of the men around. A lot of folks will lend a hand if I need them.
You reckon you could get someone to take over tomorrow?
You mean all day?
To get where the hunting's good, it'll take all day.
Oh, I bet all my hunting equipment is packed.
Packed? Well,
no, yes, I hadn't gone hunting for a while, so I just sort of stored it away in an old trunk with some old clothes, you know. Not that I can't get it out again without the least trouble.
It doesn't sound like you, Willa. You go hunting, fishing, right regular.
I know, but... Oh, well, none of this matters. Because if you're asking me to go hunting with you tomorrow, I accept. You let me worry about unpacking that old trunk.
You still like hunting?
Of course I do.
Yeah. I thought maybe we'd ride up around Laramie Peak. It's kind of pretty up that way. Yeah, it'd be good for you if you've been stuck in the store a lot lately.
It'll be good. And I'll love it, Lee.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be nice. If you want to bring any of that coffee you're so handy with, why, it's all right with me.
That you, Captain Quest?
Seems to be Mr. Seibert's.
You all right, sir?
I feel fine, Lieutenant.
Well, I don't believe I've ever heard you whistle before.
Was I whistling?
It must have been you. Everyone else is asleep.
Yeah, maybe we better go into my room, Mr. Seibert's. Wouldn't want to wake everyone in old Bedlam.
I'll just stay a moment. You understand, Captain, it's all right with me about the whistling.
Oh, that's good.
I probably wouldn't even have heard you, except it being so warm tonight, I left my door open.
Yeah, I guess it is a warm night.
Now, I didn't see it myself, so naturally I didn't believe it when all the other officers were talking about it at dinner.
Lieutenant, you making any sense?
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, first night back after 6 weeks of campaign, a man's entitled to celebrate any way he likes.
Yes, sir, I believe that.
Little too much brandy after dinner, maybe?
What? Me? No, sir, just one.
Well, then, why aren't you making any sense?
No, I was talking about you, Captain.
I didn't even have one brandy.
Captain, the talk is that right after dismiss orders today, you walked off the parade ground straight to the sutler's store.
Well?
After that, you took a long bath and a shave, called for Miss Willa, and took her into the village for dinner at the hotel.
What do we got here, officers on picket duty?
Do you mind, Captain? Is all this true?
It's true, Mr. Seibert's. Also true is I'm... pretty tired. Good night.
And it was you whistling just now.
You making out some kind of report?
No, sir. I just want to be sure of the facts, that's all.
They seem to be in order, Mr. Seibert's.
I don't believe it. I mean, I can hardly believe it, and I sure didn't believe it when it was told to me at dinner.
You feel pretty bad about this?
No, not bad. I was just sure that they were all wrong. So sure, I bet $5 they were wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
You never did it before, did you? Right from the parade grounds to call on Miss Willa?
I don't know.
It's not like you.
I don't know what that means. Well, I told you it's late. I'm tired, Mr. Savage.
Well, I can't help asking, Captain. Does all this mean something?
Well, all right. Yes, it does mean one thing.
Yes, sir?
You lost $5. Good night, Mr. Seibitz.
Did you see that, Lee?
Yeah, beautiful shot, Willa.
Now, what am I going to do with an antelope?
Ah, you could roast it.
And feed all of Fort Laramie. He ought to be right through here.
Pronghorn antelope, Willa. And a beauty. Now all you gotta do is figure out how to get him back to the post.
It's all been so pleasant today, I just supposed I had a gentleman with me.
You got a hunter. There's a difference.
I know. A fisherman cleans his own fish. A hunter takes care of his own game. When you take up rod and rifle, you're not a man or a woman. You're a fisherman or a hunter.
You shouldn't complain, Willow. You're good at both of them. You want to rest a while?
You won't hold it against me as being too feminine or anything like that.
There's a stream over there. Some nice soft boulders to stretch out on.
I'd think you'd be tired, Lee, 6 weeks out in a country like this.
I don't get tired of country like this.
Don't get tired of rifles? Sidearms?
Oh, that's a difference. Hunting people, hunting game. Well, which boulder looks best to you?
This one's fine.
You want some water?
No, thanks.
Hey, look, Willa. Trout in that stream.
Mm-hmm. And the poles are back with the horses. And here's one fisherman who's not going back for them.
Oh, I'm satisfied they're just there in the stream. Hey, this is quite a spot to just come on to without planning.
It's beautiful.
Food, water, sun, shade. There's caves back into the canyon along the stream. You know, a man could live right here and never want for a thing.
A man could, I guess.
Sure he could. What does he need that isn't here?
I won't say it.
I like it here just fine.
You would, too. Until one day a cavalry troop would ride nearby, or you'd hear someone sound taps from a camp at night. Oh, you'd come running out of your cave, all right.
Maybe.
You know you would. I can't imagine you away from the army.
Haven't been. For a long, long time. Sometimes, like now, I think I wouldn't mind leaving.
To do what?
Live like this. Hunting, fishing, making trails, seeing where they lead. Stopping where I want, starting when I want.
You would, wouldn't you? You'd live like this and like it just fine. You wouldn't be lonely or need anything or anybody.
I don't plan that.
You make me sick.
Do I?
Well, yes, sometimes you do. And sometimes you don't. And that makes me sick.
Hey, what's the matter, Willa? I thought we were having a good day.
We were. We are. I'm sorry, Lee. I don't want to spoil anything. Today, especially.
I don't either.
Well, then, help a fellow hunter with her antelope, will you?
Sure, Willa. Sure. It's right here, Gores, on the left forefoot.
Sure is. She's telling us all about it, ain't she? The shoe's loose.
Yeah, but the real hurt's under the shoe. Something's worked its way under there, pebble maybe. That's why she's pulled up lame.
Mm-hmm.
Well, between the smithy and the men, they'll get her fixed up fine. Furnace.
Yes, Sergeant?
You see this mare gets to the blacksmith. Left forefoot, shoes loose.
I'll tell him, Sergeant. Come on.
Mind she gets good care. That's Miss Willa's mare.
I will.
She sure sets it real pretty, too, Captain.
Yeah, she does.
You suppose she'll get rid of her now?
You don't get rid of a mare because she pulls up lame.
Well, I didn't mean that. I meant seeing she won't be here. Pliny's not a hand to ride. Not that he could handle
seeing
it.
Seeing who won't be here?
Well, Miss Willa.
Now, why won't she be here?
Well, if she moves to San Francisco, she won't be here. You act like I'm telling you something you ain't heard tell of.
You are.
But you've been with her clean since we got back. Yesterday, all day, out hunting. Well, don't look at me like that. I'm just telling you what Mrs. Meade told me.
It's all right, Gorse.
The way I understand, that's what Pliny's doing in Cheyenne, getting her set up on the train.
Oh?
You mean you was out there all day yesterday and she didn't mention this to you? Didn't you talk none?
Yeah, I talked about living in a cave.
I've been worried.
It's only me, ma'am. I come to tell you I can't find him anywhere.
I wonder where he went. Oh, please come in, Sergeant Gorse.
Thank you kindly, ma'am, but I ain't had my supper yet. Neither is the captain. Leastwise, not at Old Bedlam. I talked to Lieutenant Syberts over there. He says none of the officers have seen him since morning.
You must be the last one to see him, then, at the stables.
No, ma'am. Furness said he'd come back later and rode off. He didn't say nothing, just rode off. About noon, that was.
Funny. I started to say it's not likely, but it's just like him, isn't it, Sergeant? Riding off alone without a word to anyone.
Oh, it ain't that he can't take care of himself, Miss Willa.
No. It's not that. Well, please go have your supper. Thanks for your trouble.
No trouble, ma'am. And don't you fret now, you hear?
I won't. Good night, Sergeant.
Evening, Gorse.
You in one piece, Captain Quince?
Yeah, I think so.
I've been looking for you most of the afternoon. I missed my supper poking around hunting for you.
Missed mine, too. I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was.
I believe you.
I'm sorry about your supper.
No matter about that. I just missed food. Miss Willa now, she missed you.
You sure you want to talk out here, Lee?
Yeah. What I got to say... Well, it'll come easier without these lamps on. You can sit if you like.
Thank you. You, Lee?
No, I'm going to stand.
You know, I tried to tell you myself. Last night when we got back from hunting, I couldn't believe I hadn't told you. But I kept thinking there'd be a time that it'd seem more right... And it just didn't come.
I put together some things today, like at dinner the other night, about things being packed away. And yesterday, before we left Laramie Peak, something about you not wanting to spoil things. That part's all right, Willa.
I hope so.
Willa, what's in San Francisco?
For me, a lot of things that aren't here. It's a life I don't know, a chance. A lot of chances I don't have here. Mostly, I guess it's everything that Fort Laramie isn't.
You tired of Fort Laramie?
I'm tired of me at Fort Laramie.
You?
Me.
Well, I want you to know I liked yesterday. I've been giving it a lot of thought today. I liked yesterday. I liked taking dinner with you the night I got back. I liked knowing you'd be here.
I liked all that, too. But, Lee...
No, you better let me talk while the words are coming. Today, I was going over it all. It seemed to me that... Well, there seemed to me there... A lot of things we like the same way, and...
Lee, don't. Don't say any more.
Well, it's not coming easy. I'm not saying it well. What I'm trying to say
I know what you're trying to say, and I don't want you to say it.
You don't?
Are you asking me to marry you, Lee?
I'm coming real close to
no.
that.
No. Don't come close. Don't say it.
All right.
How long, I wonder, I've wanted you to say it. I think I've prayed you'd ask me. Like all those times I prayed you'd come near me when you didn't. I've waited and wanted so longly.
I'm not pretending to understand.
You said it yesterday. You liked stopping where you want, starting where you want. You like me when and where you want to. And you'll miss me when I go. But you don't love me. The way to a marriage. You know you don't.
You're saying no, Willa.
We're both saying no. Lee, if you hadn't heard I was going away, would you have come here to ask me?
Well, I don't know.
I know. Not tonight. Or next week. Or next year.
I'll miss you.
I'll miss you. I think I'll always miss you.
Yeah. Well, I'll say goodnight now.
Goodbye, Lee.
Bye, Willa.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Tom Henley. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Parley Bear, Dolores Pennard, and John Daner. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. You'd fight for your right to vote. Any American would. But are you prepared to register to vote? In many states, voters must be registered if their political choices are to be counted. Make sure your vote will be counted. Find out where and when you may register to vote in your state. Give democracy a chance to work for you. This has been a public service message from CBS Radio. By L&M, the modern cigarette that lets you get full, exciting flavor through the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip. Live modern. Smoke L&M. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Looks like the Kinsmans is at it again, Mr. Dillon.
What?
Jeff Kinsman and his wife standing by their wagon over yonder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's after him about something, isn't she?
I declare, if I was Jeff, I'd leave her at the ranch when I come to town.
Well, she's bigger than he is, Chester.
By golly, she just about is.
Maybe you lost your pride, Jeff Kinsman, but I sure ain't. What kind of a man are you anyway?
But are you sure he done it, Kate?
Of course he done it. He does it every chance he gets. You gonna let another man flirt with your wife right in public?
I just wanted to be sure.
There he comes now. Ask him about it.
I sure
will. That's Ed Dolliver she's talking about, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I guess they're not such good neighbors after all.
Look, he's carrying a rifle.
Yeah. It's a Sharps 50. It looks brand new.
Hey, well, I guess there won't be no trouble. Jeff Kinsman
Hello,
ain't
Jeff.
Armed.
Mrs. Kinsman, I want to settle something with you, Dolliver.
What's wrong, Jeff?
You're to leave my wife alone, you hear?
What?
You stop trying to fool with her.
But Jeff, you gone crazy? You tell her, Mrs. Kinsman.
She done told me. And I'm warning you, Dolliver, you go get your own woman, leave mine be.
I don't know. I like being accused this way.
Put that gun down, I'll learn you to like.
They gonna fight, Mr. Dillon?
And as long as they aren't gonna shoot each other.
There. Now what are you gonna do, Kinsman?
I'll show you.
Oh, you got a knife.
You put that knife away, I ain't armed.
All right, hold it, Kinsman.
This is my fight, Marshal.
Not with a knife. Now drop it. Go on, drop it.
No. No, I won't drop it. But I won't use it on him. Not till next time I won't.
Come on and fight, you coward.
You're a beggar than I am.
I'll fight you any way you like. I see you bought a new Sharps rifle, Dollar.
Never mind guns. You men settle this some other way.
Sure. Only he better remember I got a Sharps rifle at home, too.
Now, look, Kinsman, and you too, Dolliver. If there's any shooting out your way, I'll know who to come for. And it won't take any time at all.
That little coward ain't gonna do nothing. And I wouldn't put salt on an old crow like her anyway.
Jeff! You hear what he called me?
He called me a coward.
He called you? By heaven, Jeff, what's things are coming to when a woman's got to put
Chester,
up with that?
Come on, let's go.
I never heard of a man getting by insulting a lady right in public twice, and each time worse than the other. He's no good, that Dolliver, and you ain't much better.
Oh, now, Kate.
I swear she's going to have them men fighting yet, Mr. Dillon. That trouble ain't about over.
No, that's the worst kind of trouble, Chester. You never know who's guilty or what.
Why don't you live modern? Live modern. Live modern. Change to L&M.
Only with L&M can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos through the modern miracle of the L&M Miracle Tip. Through the Pure White Miracle Tip, L&M tastes richer, smokes cleaner, draws easier. No other cigarette, plain or filter, gives you all the flavor you want, the rich, exciting flavor you get only from L&M. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live modern. Get L&M today.
A little more coffee, will you, Matt?
Yeah, sure, Kitty.
Thanks.
Is that enough?
It's enough of this restaurant's coffee.
Well, at least it's hot anyway.
Yeah. Oh, about Ed Dolliver.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I know is that he's a bachelor, and I never yet saw him shy away from a pretty girl.
Yeah. Kitty, I want to ask you a question. Would you call Kate Kinsman pretty?
She might have been. Once. That woman's lived a hard life, Matt.
No?
In fact, it was Ed Dolliver who told me about her. She was married before, you know.
No, I didn't know.
He died. Pneumonia or something. He was a buffalo hunter for the Santa Fe Railroad. He used to take Kate right along with him. Just like she was a man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe that's why she demands so much respect now.
Matt, I don't think objecting to being called an old crow is exactly demanding respect for any woman. What's that?
Oh, it's Chester.
He looks pretty excited about something.
Yeah. Excuse me, Kitty. I better go see what he wants. I'll see you later.
Sure, Matt.
Yeah, what is it, Chester?
Miss Kinsman, she's waiting right over there.
What? Is there something wrong?
You better hear it from her, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. She coming alone today?
Yes, sir.
Hello, Miss Kinsman. What can I do for you?
It ain't me, Marshal. It's my husband. It's Jeff.
What's the matter?
He's dead.
What?
He was murdered early this morning. Ed Dolliver done it.
Well, how do you know it was Dolliver?
I'll show you how. I left Jeff right on the prairie where I found him.
Now, Chester.
Yes, sir?
Go get Doc. We'll follow Miss Kinsman out to the ranch.
There he is, Marshal. I ain't touched him, just throwed that canvas over it.
Uh-huh. Miss Kinsman, how'd you happen to find him out here?
I heard the shot. I knew Jeff didn't have his rifle with him.
Well, whoever did it can't be accused of ambushing him. There's no cover anywhere around here.
You're forgetting Ed Dolliver has a new Sharps 50, ain't you, Doc?
Oh, yeah, well, it won't shoot over the horizon, will it? I'll take a look here, man.
Marshal, you take a good look around the way I did, you'll see something.
No? What?
That little clump of switchgrass out there. A man could hide behind that.
Clear out there? Why, that's more than 1,000 yards.
It ain't too far for us Sharps.
Chester, right over there and take a look, will you?
Okay, what you doing?
Matt.
Matt. Yeah, what is it?
There's only one bullet in him. And it's not very far in.
What do you mean?
Oh, it was enough to kill him, all right, but it was pretty well spent. Whoever fired it was a long ways off.
I told you.
What was Jeff doing here, anyways?
He was putting out bait for wolves, Doc. Poisoning them. We've been bothered lately.
Where do you want to bury him, Mrs. Kinsman?
Oh, out back of the house, there's a place he liked.
Well, I guess we can conduct a service of some sort.
Why don't you get Ed Dolliver? I hear he reads the book real good.
You haven't seen him around, have you, Miss Kinsman?
I can tell you right where he is.
Huh?
It's noon, ain't it? He's sitting on his front porch like he does every day at noon. He always sits there for an hour, doing nothing.
I see.
I wonder what he's thinking.
What?
I mean about having gone out and killed a man because of me. Must be working on his mind pretty strong.
Yeah.
But you know something? It was one or the other of them. It come to that. And all because of me.
Oh, no. You mustn't feel guilty, Miss Kinsman. It wasn't your fault.
Oh, I am guilty, Doc. Just being a woman men fight over just makes me guilty.
How'd you find anything, Chester?
I found this. Laying on the ground right behind that clump of grass.
Oh, what is it?
A shell from Sharp's 50.
It don't look good, does it, Marshal?
Now, Dolliver, it doesn't.
There's one thing might have worked for me.
Oh, what's that?
My new Sharps rifle. Supposing it hadn't ever been fired. You could tell, couldn't you?
Easy. Where is it?
Ain't no use, Marshal. I was shooting it this morning, trying it out for the first time.
You weren't with anybody, huh?
No. No, I got no alibi, none at all.
You don't even seem much interested in trying to clear yourself of this, Dolliver.
Well, I figure sometimes if a man raises too big a holler about how innocent he is, kind of works to make people think he's guilty.
Yeah, sometimes, maybe. Can you think of anybody else who might have shot Jeff?
No. I'm the only one, I guess.
Yeah. Dolliver, I want you to tell me the truth now. You have any interest in Miss Kinsman?
I wouldn't be proud of it. I can do better than her, Marshal. A whole lot better.
Yeah. Hey, you got a pencil and some paper around here?
What?
I want to write a note to Miss Kinsman.
About what?
Well, never mind. Just get it for me, will you?
Whatever you say, Marshal.
Now, Chester.
Sure.
Now, when I get this written, I want you to ride over to Miss Kinsman's with it.
Sure. But where are you going?
Well, I'm taking Dolliver into Dodge to lock him up. But don't you tell her. Now, you stay here tonight, and I'll be back by tomorrow morning.
I swear, I don't understand.
You will. Later.
Yes, live modern. Smoke modern. Smoke L&M. Enjoy a modern cigarette. L&M gives you the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos. No other cigarette, plain or filter, gives you the flavor you get through the modern miracle of the L&M Miracle Tip. Through the pure white Miracle Tip, L&M tastes richer, smokes cleaner, draws easier. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live, live, live modern. Get L&M today.
I told you to stay away from that window, Chester.
Well, I was only peeking to see if that there Mr. Dolliver was doing all right out there on the porch.
Well, is he?
Oh, yes, sir. He's sitting real quiet, just staring off across the prairie.
Yeah, that's good.
Most noon, Mr. Dillon.
You getting hungry?
Well, I didn't have no breakfast to speak of hardly, and now that you mention it, I don't guess I'd mind setting down to a plate of hot meat and maybe a loaf of sourdough bread. Say, maybe we could rummage around in his cupboard here some,
I will eat when we get through here.
Yeah, sure, but when'll that be?
Not too long, if my hunch is right.
And if it ain't?
Yeah, you've been hungry before, haven't you? Come on over here.
Well, I just can't hardly see nothing out of this little hole.
Yeah, there's a bigger one on your left there.
Oh. Yeah, I can see fine now.
I got an idea there isn't going to be much to see anyway.
Can't never tell.
You sure our horses are out of sight, huh?
I got them tied up back of the house I told you, yeah. Mr. John.
Okay.
Hey, look at Mr. Dolliver. Got him. Knocked him right off of his chair.
Yeah. You see that puff of smoke out there? Yeah, that's a good 1,000 yards.
Oh, that's some shooting, but whoever it is pretty well hid.
Yeah. Now, we'll wait a minute, then we'll go out back and get our horses.
We're going to have to ride awful fast.
We'll make it.
Well, what about Mr. Dolliver?
Leave him. He was hit square. Come on. Put our horses in the barn here, Chester.
Nobody in sight yet.
Now, let's hurry. Tie him up in those first two stalls, huh?
All right, sir. It's blacker than the inside of a cow in here after that blazing sunshine.
Your eyes will get used to it after a while.
I don't see nobody coming.
Yeah, she'll be along directly. I wasn't too sure we'd beat her.
Mr. Dillon, what exactly did you tell her in that note you wrote?
Yeah, just that Ed Dolliver had a good alibi.
Well, who'd you say it was?
A woman.
A woman?
Yeah, I didn't give a name. I just said that Dolliver was going to bring the woman into Dodge tonight and prove it.
Well, I'll be darned.
You keep an eye out here, Chester. I'm going to take a look around the barn.
No, you ain't, Marshal. Well, stand right where you are.
It's her. She beat us back here.
Get your hands up, both of you.
I can't see a thing in here.
No use, Miss Kinsman. You can't shoot both of us.
I said get your hands up.
Well, I'd be...
That Sharps isn't a repeating rifle, you know.
Then I'll shoot you, Marshal.
And Chester will take you if you do.
I heard what you told him. Them lies you wrote.
I had to trick you out somehow.
You can't prove I did nothing.
No, you proved it. At Ed Dolliver's a while ago. That's pretty good shooting at 1,000 yards, Miss Kinsman.
Ha! Huh. Too good for a woman, Marshal. There ain't nobody will believe you.
I didn't believe it myself when we looked at Jeff yesterday. That was quite some shooting, too.
Get out of here and leave me alone.
I remembered something late, Miss Kinsman.
What?
How your first husband took you out buffalo hunting with him. Yeah, you can shoot, all right. As good as any man.
This rifle's aimed right at your chest, Marshal.
You know, Miss Kinsman, I feel kind of sorry for you.
Sorry.
You liked men fighting over you. You needed for them, too. You needed it so bad you told Jeff lies about Ed Dolliver.
That ain't so.
Oh, yes, it is. You just had to have a man killed over you. But you knew Dolliver wasn't interested, so you shot Jeff yourself. That way, at least people would think they were fighting over you.
No.
Yeah, my note about Dolliver's alibi being a woman destroyed all that, didn't it? You just couldn't take that.
Marshal?
Here, give me your rifle.
I'm glad I killed him.
Yeah, but you didn't kill him.
What?
I sent Dolliver to Dodge for a day or so. What you shot was a couple of grain bags dressed in his clothes.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
No. I hated Jeff, but I hated Dolliver even worse now.
Like I say, Miss Kinsman, I'm sorry for you. Jeff was a good man. Now there's nobody to fight for you.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad. What's your hobby? Some folks are bird watchers, some are stamp collectors, others like spectator sports. But here's a hobby that should fascinate just about everybody, and that's sky watching to help the Air Force spot unidentified planes. Just a few hours a week in your spare time is all that's necessary to follow this exciting and vital pursuit. All you have to do is volunteer for the Ground Observer Corps, a civilian component of the Air Defense Command. You'll be trained and supervised by officers and airmen of the United States Air Force to spot planes in your filter area. Men and women from teenage up can help cover the blind spots in our radar system by sky watching for 2 hours a week. That's all that's needed to keep up the 24-hour schedule of the Ground Observer Corps. Besides doing a necessary job for America, you'll be varying your daily routine with a different kind of hobby. Get your friends and neighbors together to join you as volunteers for the GOC. Find out from your local civilian defense office how you can be a ground observer for the USA. This has been a public service message by CBS Radio. And now, William Conrad.
You know, on the frontier, it was usually land or water that were fought and died for. But next week, a man dies because of a clapboard building. And that was the West.
Gunsmoke. Produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Harry Bartell, and Paul Dubov. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke.